those issues that are up for finalization today, and you do need to sign up, so if there's somebody here that wants to speak and hasn't signed up, please do. Commissioner Phillips is going to run the public hearing, and everybody will be given 3 minutes to speak. I don't know. Yeah. Scott's going to have to see it. But I guess he won't have to see it. But these guys.
Doesn't Simpson have any jobs anymore?
I don't think so. Has everybody signed in that wants to speak? Ah, okay. Scott, did you sign in?
Can't speak.
Still waiting for some to get their sheets up here. Should we begin? Okay, Commissioner Phillips.
Thank you, Chairman Jensen. Commissioner Phillips here. Been asked to run the public hearing part of the meeting. We're going to start with fishing seasons, and I have one speaker, Ken Adele, and he wishes to speak on three different topics, so we're going to give him 3 minutes. We're going to limit everybody to 3 minutes here today. We've got a lot of people who want to speak. The timer's down there with Gary, and he will watch that. And if you're starting to get over your time, he will give you a little wave. And just a reminder that some of these topics are very. There's a lot of passion on some of these issues, and we want to be real respectful here today and give everybody an opportunity to speak and have what they and say what they have come to say. So to start that out is Ken here.
I will collect those from you when we're done.
And also remind you to please tell us who you are and before you start to speak, please.
My name's Kenny Dell. I'm in Rapid City, South Dakota. Thank you, commissioners, for time to speak, and Secretary Hepburn. I've got about 7 items, and I want to run through them, the items I oppose, and I want to come back and try to capture as much as I can. To try to do this in 3 minutes, after the research I put into it, be a little timely here trying to get this done. You know, if you're going to do this every 2 years, we should get twice as much time. Anyways, to start with the removal of the 15-inch minimum wall, I oppose that. Removal of the black bass 15-inch minimum on all waters, I oppose that. Removing the liberalized fishing regulation, I oppose that. Removal of the possession limits in the domicile, I oppose that. In the Spearin, I oppose the open entirety of Lake Sharp and Lake Francis case and Gavin's Point tailwaters. I oppose eliminating the permit fee and the important information that could be collected from that. And I'll start with the eliminating the permit fee. We did a study, and that permit fee is $5, and it was to capture how many people I guess are doing it. Spearfishing and archery are zooming up. You need that now. You don't need to eliminate it. You need to capture that to manage it. You're opening up our state to all this stuff, and you're giving away one of your management tools. For a long time, I couldn't figure out why we keep doing this with the spear fishermen. We keep opening it, opening it, and opening it. We are the most liberal in the nation. And I come across a study that was done in 2011. Anyways, that study had to do with, asked the question, if the spear fishermen would accept the lower limit, and evidently they said they would. 50% said they'd allow, they'd go for three fish if we would remove the 15-inch minimum and give them more open water. And guess where we're at today? That's exactly where we're at today. I didn't know we could bargain for regulations, but it appears that's what happened. There is absolutely no reason, no biological reason to remove the 15-inch minimum on the walleye, none on the bass. But that's what we're doing. And the only reason I can see we're doing it is because of what we had, what we have in that 2011 spearfishing study where the spearfishermen said we'd agreed to taking less. Well, guess what? If they take three, you're going to have to lower the three for the other ones, for the hook and line. That would be, you'd never get that passed. So you left them at four. If you remove the 15-inch from the walleyes, well, then you got to pretty much fall in line with the bass. So the only reason we're doing that is for some reason, because the spear fishermen, we want to remove that minimum regulation. This doesn't make any sense. That those regulations are going to hurt these fisheries, the bass and the walleye. Removing the liberalized fishing, you know, that's a good tool for us to capture these bass in these ponds that are drying up or they're too many stunted. We've done that before, and we've done it just a couple years ago. It's a good tool. You don't want to eliminate the liberalized fishing. And if you're going to remove the possession limit in your domicile, people are going to say, game fishing parks, you can take as many fish as you want. That is not, we need some conservative limits. A lot of people honor that regulation. And this entire book is basically based on the honor system. There's a lot of these regulations you can't impose. And it's like the spear fishing is a good example. You have no way to regulate that and monitor it. So those are those regulations, I oppose them because I think we're doing an injustice to our fishery. There's no reason to change it, absolutely none. I can give you the examples. The 15-inch minimum, they just did a Sheridan Stockade Lake. They got a proposal, they're stocking it. Well, those fish will never see 15 inches. They'll be harvested. We don't meet until another 2 years on fish regulations. They were stocked last year. By the time you meet next time, they'll have that cleaned up. The only thing you're going to have is small fish. That's exactly what this regulation do to the rest of the state. Excuse in Oahe, me. We're all small fish.
Excuse me. Gary, are you going to watch the time or am I?
You are.
Okay, let's start over, all right?
change topics, you again.
Okay, we're going to start over. Anyway, there's a lot of items I wrote down that I'd like to discuss, but I know there's not enough time for all this. But I encourage you, don't vote for these regulations. They're going to hurt our fishery. There's a lot of them going to be not in good shape after this. One time we were toting ourselves as the walleye capital of the nation. Now we could tote ourselves at either the spearfishing capital of the nation or the dink walleye capital of the nation. We've made a lot of mistakes over the years. Don't impose these. Okay. Thank you for your time. Oh, time out. I knew I wouldn't be able to get all this done in this amount of time, so I made handouts for each of you. My name and telephone number is on there. Give me a call. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Going to switch to deer license allocation, and the first speaker is Chris Hasla.
Good Good afternoon, Commissioners. Secretary Hepler, Chris Hessel of the South Dakota Wildlife Federation. The Wildlife Federation believes that we need to change something in the application and the way we deliver deer to our hunters. We believe that the current system isn't working as well as it should be, and we do support changes in it. Although we do not support the current proposition, just because it's being watered down too much. We worked on it on the deer working group, and as a package, we thought, you know, it all should be included in it. And we just oppose it because you removed the four seasons from the Yankton proposal. So we do support change, but we just do not support part of a change. We'd like it all. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Next speaker is Russ Roberts.
My name is Russ Roberts from St. Ange, South Dakota. Appreciate the time to speak, Commission Secretary Hepler. I am disappointed as well that several of the seasons were eliminated from the process, because the entire program was designed to try and get more people to draw tags. I have heard a lot of these seasons referred to as heritage seasons or Christmas seasons or bonus seasons. I disagree with that. But because of the amount of licenses involved, I can swallow hardly and maybe accept Custer State Park and the refuge seasons. The West and East River Special Buck, not so much. By your very rules and regulations that those seasons were set up, they are part of the East and West River deer season. So now you are separating the two of those and making them different. They're really not. And what you have is a private land tag for East River and West River Special Buck, and you have regular unit tags for East River and West River deer. What you're ultimately doing separating those is you have folks that have access to private land, and you are allowing those folks to double dip and have opportunities at two licenses, while you have other folks on the other side of the room that only have access to public ground, and they get a regular unit tag, their chances of drawing a tag are pretty much cut in half while someone else gets two opportunities. The East and West River Special Buck seasons are not separate seasons from East River and West River deer. It's just how the licenses are allocated. And I implore you guys to put the Special Buck tags back in with the regular East and West River deer drawings, and people have to make a choice so it's fair for everyone. And you could see from those percentages that Game Fish and Parks projected, it's going to help deer drawings immensely, and it actually improves them more. When the more seasons you add into that, the more success people are going to have drawing tags, and it's going to be the fairer system for everyone. And they can still do their West River and East River deer hunt. They still have unlimited archery permits. There's lots of other options, as Kevin went over in his projections on things. You're not eliminating people from hunting both sides of the state. But if you combine those seasons, as many of them as possible in the first draw, you're giving everyone the best opportunity of drawing a tag. And I think that the Eastern West River Special Buck need amended back into that proposal for the drawings, because ultimately they're the same exact season. There's no difference between a Special Buck tag and an East and West River deer tag other than the private land access. Thank you, folks, much for your time.
Thank you, Russ. Next speaker is Dana Rogers.
Dana Rogers, Hill City, South Dakota. Secretary Hepler, Commissioners, appreciate your time. Appreciate what you do for South Dakota Wildlife. I just want to point out the original reason that you tasked the department to do this. It was because of the surveys showed that people wanted an increased opportunity to draw a preferred license. Kevin's gone over the numbers. Now we've got a stakeholders group and focus groups. I sat on one of the stakeholders groups. I also attended one of the focus groups. The passion has gotten very high the last few months now that it looks like there's going to be a change. I just simply implore you to make the best decision for South Dakota's wildlife first and foremost, and then think about the resident hunter second. It shouldn't be anything to do with financial gain. There's a lot of rumor and innuendo going around about that kind of stuff. But we have 70%, 68-70% of people only apply for one deer license each year. I am one of just a handful of a few hundred folks that puts in for 4 to 6 deer tags a year. Where I personally come down on this, now that the non-residents have been pushed a little lower and there's a cap on those, I feel a lot more comfortable about it. Whether you pass it or not, I look at it that I support it because I would like to see more hunters continue to be able to participate in the sport so we continue to grow the sport and more people get licenses so that hunting and the hunting heritage can continue on for decades to come. The misinformation out there about this proposal on social media and what you saw in your public comments is pretty sad and astounding to me, how few people understand how the actual drawing process works. This is not going to limit people to one license. It is not going to keep people from hunting both sides of the state. It's going to increase odds. Yes, those of us like me who apply for multiple licenses, we will be giving up something. We will be slightly diminishing our odds, but we're still going to be able to get licenses and we're still going to be able to hunt. So I know that there were several hundred people signed a petition on the last one. There's a lot of angry and upset people, but change is hard. Change management is a process. It is difficult. You've all been assigned here by the governor to make decisions and lead. I don't want to be, you know, one making this decision. It's going to be very difficult, but change will happen and it will be adjusted in, you know, in any way, in many ways across the state. I do not ever want to get in a situation here in South Dakota where we manage wildlife by the ballot box. I want it done by wildlife professionals and you as the commission. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Dana. Next speaker is Lance Dunlop.
Thank you. It looks like that you can still keep the current system under the voting, correct? Or is there just completely going to change?
We're going to decide that later today.
Okay. Because currently, traditionally, I always apply East River.
Please identify yourself first.
Oh, Lance Dunlap, Sioux Falls. And I saw this happening, and now I always apply East River, and I apply also Black Hills. And under this way, I won't be able to apply for Black Hills because traditionally my preferred county is Spinn County. And with the 3,999 tags that go, 7,000 people will apply always. Well, I just don't see a chance for me to get two tags, the new system, and hunt both sides, because by the time the third round comes around, I won't be able to get any counties in the West River, because there are still tags available now that I could apply for, but unless you have property to hunt or there's no public property to hunt in, you can't go. And they said you could always get a whitetail tag, but you can't shoot them, you can't find them. I've tried. And I don't know. I guess I thought it was going to be different when I came and listened to this. More people preferred no change, but everyone is talking about making concessions for it. Somebody said you don't have to pick it and stick to it. Well, right now I don't have to. I can apply for both. And I can, just like everyone, wait my years, get my preference points, get a tag in the first draw, and still get my draw on East River or West River, the current system. I don't see how the new system is going to benefit getting more people out to hunt. It was said, and I think it was in 2014 when they had the, would you like to see a better option to get a buck tag or your preferred choice? I voted yes. But if I'd have known that this was a system that was going to be put in place to up percentages, not number of tags, I wouldn't have voted for it. I wouldn't have said, yes, I want that. Because we're not changing the number of people that are getting tags. We're limiting the number of people that can apply for them. I'm not going to apply for even my preference point in the Black Hills anymore because I won't change my preferred county of East River to go to the Black Hills, which that's the only way you could do it, is apply for $5 every year and then stop and not apply in the black in your preferred county and then go there. So tradition has it, I go with my uncles 20 years. And if I decide that I'm going to use my preference points that I have been applying for, paying $5 for, I don't go there.
Could you finish up, please?
Well, I would just implore you that no change would be preferable for the majority of people, in my opinion. So thank you.
Thank you, Lance. The next speaker is Gary English.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Secretary Hepler, good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here. I passed out a handout there, and I'll explain that here in just a minute. But first off, I'd like to commend the South Dakota Department of Fish and Game and the commissioners for their tireless work with this proposal. This has been a result of many passionate individuals spending many days and months upon months and looking at statistics and crunching numbers and conducting focus groups at various locations throughout the state and speaking directly with hunters. This is not a rash decision or quickly thrown together proposal. It's well thought out and aimed at giving everybody a fairer chance at obtaining their desired license. I attended one of the focus groups and I got a lot out of it. I thought it was very well put together and a lot of work had went into it and a lot of facts were presented. I've seen on social media sites the rants and untruths squarely aimed at the department and the commissioners with statements such as we need to replace all the commissioners. It's okay to disagree with proposals, however, it's not okay to use derogatory statements and untruths in doing so. Quite frankly, it's an embarrassment for me to see this. I thought we as hunters were better than this. I'd like to say that the commissioners are doing a fine job and I commend them all for their hard work. The handout that I passed out is a social media post and it's a picture of a guy with 11 tags in his hand. And it says on the top of it, I drew 11 big game tags for South Dakota this year. Oh man, this is going to be a great hunting season. And if you look down at the bottom comment, Mark Smither, he put, I drew one doe tag in Bonhelm County. Oh crap. Well, I'd like to tell you something about the guy who posted that. That's me. That was back in 2012. I was proud to have 11 tags. And the thought comes to me now, of all those tags in my hand there, I shot one deer with all those tags. I was greedy. I wanted a tag to where I could go wherever I wanted in the state when I saw a deer, and I wanted to have a license to be able to hunt that deer. I hunted one deer that year that left 10 tags left over. That was one of those tags, a tag that maybe a grandfather could have obtained to hunt with his grandson. Was it maybe in a father and a son or a new hunter that I'm holding that tag in my hand and they're not going to be able to use it because I'm going to cut it in half and throw it in the garbage at the end of the season because I didn't use it because I hunted a deer somewhere else. I think that's ridiculous. I think it's selfish. But that happened to me, so that's firsthand account, not just me picking some guy off of the internet and trying to run him in the ground. I'm running my own actions in the ground. I think it's unacceptable. So I'm here to support, and I recommend that the commission adopts the proposal set forth. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you for that. The next speaker is Ron Disbro.
Thank you, Commission Chair, for having me. I'm Ron Disbro. I'm from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Currently, I oppose what's being brought to the table. One area that I kind of feel there's going to be an issue is in the preference points. I see that there's going to be less people that are purchasing preference points for outside of their preferred counties. And I know that the state, that's part of their revenue. And I see that being an issue down the road with people not paying that $5 every year. I see it a lot in the Black Hills based on the number of applicants. I personally know at least a dozen people that are no longer going to be applying for those preference points. That obviously adds up down the road. But I don't support this. Please make your best decision. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Next speaker is Steve Beardsley.
My name is Steve Beardsley. I'm from Rapid City. First of all, I just want to commend you because it takes some guts to do what you did. And it seems to me the best point was the one made early on, and that was you add 3,500 more hunters. I'm not sure you can get better than that. If we're lessening it, we could have an argument here. There is no argument. What you've done is admirable beyond belief because you're going to get irate people. You're going to get people that are not happy with you guys for having the guts to do it. I'll give you an example that involves me. I applied for West River Deer this year, didn't get it. My son, 34, he applied, didn't get it. I then applied for East River Deer, didn't get it. I can deal with that because I've shot a lot of deer. I've been hunting for a long time and learned from my father. The problem I have is that when people don't get an opportunity to hunt, they don't get a chance to take their sons and grandsons. I have a grandson. I have two grandsons. One's one, so he's not going. Another one's five. I started going with my dad when I was five. So what you need in this life is to involve young people in things like outdoors, like hunting. He goes when he's five, and he has all the anticipation that we have, as my son and I have. You take that away from 3,500 hunters, you're taking it away from 3,500 possible future hunters that are going to do it right. And you guys have now given that opportunity to these young people. And I can't overstress how proud I am of you guys taking this on because it's not popular. But in life, we shouldn't give 3, 4, 5 licenses to somebody and 0 licenses to somebody else. Makes no sense. And that's what it was before. Now you guys are trying to fix that. And really, the gentleman, and I wrote his name down, that came up here, Gary English. I'm not sure there's much more that can be said about that. He admitted it to himself. He got 11 tags, got one damn deer. All those people that didn't get to hunt. Now, that took some guts on his part. I've never done that. I've had multiple licenses, but I've not done something like that. And what you guys are doing is to tell all of us, be reasonable, be fair to others, and that's what you're doing. So thank you for your time, and thank you for all the hard work you put in.
Thank you, Steve. Next speaker is Ray Otten. Oyen. Ray Oyen.
Thank you. I appreciate the chance to talk to you, and I do appreciate the work you people have been putting in this to make this change. I think we need it. I went to the meeting in Belle Fouche, and it sounded to me like most of the people were opposed to it. They wanted to leave it the way it was. That's actually why I came here today. My name is Ray Oyen. I live in Lee, but I actually live up in O'Neill Pass. I have deer in my backyard just about all year long. The whitetail leave about September, but the muleys are still there. I've lived here for 12 years. It took me 9 years to get my inner deer tag, and I finally drew a tag this year. It took me 3 years to get that, but it's any whitetail tag. I definitely think we need to change, because I'm not interested in applying for East River, West River. I live in the hills. I just want to hunt in the hills. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Ray. Ross Swedeen.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, Secretary Helpler, thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Ross Swedeen. I live in Rapid City. I'm going to keep this really short and sweet. I sent you guys a long email. I've talked to many of you. You guys know where I stand on this. I want to reiterate what everybody has said is thank you for taking on this topic. I firmly believe that's the reason you guys were awarded the Commission of the Year, is for your willingness to take on these kind of topics. I was listening to the meeting on the way here when I left work, and you guys have another one ahead of you with the non-residents. So thank you for taking on these topics. I am in support of this proposal with the exception of special buck. I firmly believe special buck needs to be added to the mix. As a public land hunter, those public land hunts are my only hunt. I don't think that somebody that just because they have access to private land should be able to double dip and get multiple first choice licenses. My daughters will be public land hunters. I took my 7-year-old out. We got her first deer this year. Last weekend we got her first antelope. She will be putting in the drawing for those public land tags. It's fine. Public land is for everybody to hunt, but they should have to make that their priority if that's what they want to do. Please support this measure, and please add special buck back to the mix. Thank you.
Thank you, Ross. Next speaker is Gary Shaw.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Secretary Hepler, appreciate the time you guys have taken to tackle this very controversial topic and not very popular, to be honest with you. I'm in support of the measure with the addition of special buck. I'm a public land hunter, much like Mr. Roberts, Mr. Swedeen, and feel that special buck needs to be added back into the mix of tags to be considered. I just appreciate you guys taking the time and all the effort that you put into it, and like I said, support the change with special buck added. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker is John. Okay. Identify yourself when you get up here, please, John.
Good afternoon, Commissioner. Appreciate you being here. My name is John Gerberding. I'm from Sturgis. I'm one of the state's volunteer hunt safe instructors, and I'm here to speak on behalf of the little ones who are probably in school at this hour. 9-year experience at Spearfish. I have a lot of contact with the game, fish, and parks, know many of the people on board. I've followed this topic. I have to admit that I haven't gone into all the details on it, but my concern is for those young hunters, especially with the allocation and the new preference system. I think a lot of those young hunters are going to wait a long time before they get the opportunity to draw their tags. My son's a math major at USD, a very good one, and we did some statistical analysis on the allocation and that. And it's difficult. I know we have the youth seasons and all those types of things, but like these gentlemen said, we all know in the Hunt Safe system that if you don't get these kids involved with the hunting very early, you're not going to get them. And interest dissolves without participation. And this is my concern, that this system needs to be somehow altered or considered so that perhaps the youth have somewhat of a more options than the adults do. I don't know how you would do that, but it is my concern that when I have a hunt safe class. I'm not looking at a bunch of kids that aren't going to draw their first year tag till they're out of high school. That's too late in my term, in my words. So I would urge you to consider that a little bit when you think about these. There's a lot of gray hair out here. I've done both where I've had multiple tags, and I've had times where I haven't had any. I'm a bow hunter and a rifle hunter. I don't do East River yet, but I grew over there, so I know how difficult it can be, Brookings County, to draw a tag there. Good luck with that. So I understand what you're working on. I applaud that, but keep in mind that the old guys aren't the only ones that need to be hunting, that should have the opportunities to do that. So those are my comments for today. Thank you for being here, and good luck with this.
Thank you, John. And thank you for not letting me try that last name.
I tell everybody it's like the baby food with a ding, Gerber ding.
Okay, thank you. I'll remember that next time. Next speaker is William Locken.
Good afternoon. I want to thank you for coming to take public comment. I think that's important to hear what we the people have to say, to so to speak. I'm in favor of it. You know, is across the nation, in South Dakota is no different. Hunting is on the downswing. We have to get people and keep people interested in it, or it'll go away. It'll probably never go away in my lifetime. I'm way too old, at least I hope not. But my grandsons could see it go away. And we need to keep people interested. And how you keep them interested? You keep them in there participating. Is a guy with five tags any more happy than a guy with one? No, I don't think so. We need to give those people that are not getting their license, because they can't be lucky in a draw, another opportunity or a better opportunity to do it. And I really do appreciate you taking this on. It's not an easy subject. It's not easy to make a decision that, you know, half this way, half that way. But let's look at the overall hunting population, and let's do what we can to keep the participation up. And that's what you're trying to do. And I applaud you for it. Thank you.
Thank you, William. That's the last card. That's the last card I have. Does anybody else want to speak on the deer license allocation? Any more speakers? Yes, one more. You need to fill out a card. You're right up here.
David Luton, Rapid City. I'm totally against this proposal. Everybody's acting like these people, somebody can't get a tag. There's always an option for a tag. If you don't get your Black Hills tag, you can still get a doe tag. You can still go to different counties in West River and still hunt. They're acting like we don't get our first choice, we can't hunt. And that's wrong. There is always opportunities. I bet there's still tags left right now. And there's people could go buy them all. They could go get 10 tags if they want, because it's open to however many you want. So there is still opportunities for these children to still go hunt. They're acting like they need to go on a trophy hunt. Kids don't need to be taught growing up that it's all about the antlers right now. They need to be taught the basics to sit there and go out and be safe. So that's the biggest part is, to me, is you can go hunting. You can, just because you don't have your first choice doesn't mean you throw a fit and not go. This year, I applied for elk, antelope, West River deer, Black Hills deer, muzzleloader. I did not get a single tag this year. I'm fine with that. Next year, I'll probably actually get a couple different tags. And it's all into the statistics and how you look. Black Hills, As an example, it takes about 2 to 3 years. I am fine with that. People know that it's going to take that long. Why should somebody that lives in the Black Hills have the only opportunity to sit there and go when there's other people that would like to go there, but they're going to give up where they grew up or grew up at to sit there and go take that and not sit there and spend the time with their family out on the ranch that they're always gone to just because they wanted that chance to go experience the Black Hills. That is wrong. It's not just about the trophy. Part of this is about spending family time. And to me, I wish you guys would take a second look at this, and I don't know why this was came up as in checking out ideas earlier this year to we're getting it slammed into our faces. Looking at social media, most people are against this. I think the original focus groups, it showed that most people are against this. So why is it all of a sudden, here it is, final day, we're going to push it through when most people are against this? And a lot of people have come up here and said that they were scared because most people are against this, and there's only few of us that actually got up here and are telling we are against this.
Could you finish up, please, David?
I'm done. I appreciate you guys' this time.
Thank you, David. We've got one more card handed in. Mike Sneesby.
Hi, guys. Mike Sneesby from Deadwood. Welcome to Deadwood. Appreciate you guys being here. I approve everything that you guys have stated. I would love to see it go through, and these are the reasons why. I have two little boys that are going to be growing up hunting. I'm just going to speak for just one specific season, so it's hard to speak for the whole state. But for Black Hills deer tags, I currently draw every 2, sometimes every 3 years. Okay. So once my boys are able to hunt for bucks, which is 12 years old, they're out of the house by the time they're 18. Once they start applying for preference, it's going to take a couple years to draw it under the current system. So that would mean they would draw a tag at 14 or maybe 15 years old. Again, they'd have to wait maybe another 2, another 3 years. So under the current system, my boys would maybe get 2 buck tags in the Black Hills while they're in my house. I want my boys to be able to hunt bucks every year, maybe every other year. Just depends how it works out. That's the way I see it, just for that one specific system. So I approve everything you guys are doing, and hopefully it goes through. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Are there any additional people who would like to speak on the deer license allocation? If none, we're going to switch topics to the elk license raffle. And the first speaker is Bill Marketon, South Dakota Ducks Unlimited.
Honorable Chairman, Commissioners, and Secretary, I'm Bill Marketon. I'm the current State Chairman for South Dakota Ducks Unlimited. My leadership team and I were the authors of this submittal, and I personally submitted it on behalf of myself. And it was primarily looked at as a tool to raise additional funds for conservation efforts. As you know, today, the state currently does not have a dedicated source of funding for conservation. We have significant resources within our state, and our elk population is one of those resources. We believe using Ducks Unlimited's dollars along with this raffle, we can multiply this and conserve additional lands within the state of South Dakota. As I have read the finalization of the approval, I agree with point number one, and when it comes to making sure that the clear raffle license results are tallied, and that's something very easy for us to do. For point two, to hold the funds separately, that's a restricted versus an unrestricted fund. It's something we potentially could do, but it's very difficult for us or any other nonprofits to do on the restricted funds. I would ask that, I understand that you want those monies to be spent in South Dakota, and Ducks Unlimited does an enormous job of spending monies in South Dakota. To date, we've spent about over $100 million in South Dakota since 1984. In the last several years, we spent $6 million and $10 million for conservation efforts in the state of South Dakota. That's through Ducks Unlimited and our partners. So we spend significant dollars within South Dakota. I would ask that you change that to provide verification that funds spent during the license year have exceeded the amount raised on the raffle, and that gives us the flexibility to use those conservation funds as needed. A couple other points about Ducks Unlimited. We've got 6,300 members in our state. We've got 55 active chapters that we could be selling these raffle tickets at to help raise funds for conservation resources. We've impacted 697,000 acres since 1984, far greater than any other organization. When we submitted this application, we asked for a second license because we understand Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation has secured or has continued to ask for that first license, and we did not want to impact our conservation friend. We look at all of our other conservation organizations as our friends, and we don't want to impose anything upon them, and that's why we asked for a second license. We owned over 40,000 acres of land since our inception. As of today, we own about 7,200 acres of land. All of that land is open for public recreation and hunting ability. That's land that Ducks Unlimited owns. Okay. That's why we're asking for this raffle, so we can raise additional monies for conservation efforts. I first and foremost was a hunter. I've become a conservationist because I understand how important it is for my family and for my kids, and hopefully if I have an opportunity to have grandkids someday, to enjoy the nature that we have. And we have to raise funds to make that happen. And this is an incredible resource that we have that we can multiply and raise additional funds.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up is Mason Cooper from Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation.
My name is Mason Cooper. I'm the regional director at the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation here in the state of South Dakota. Chairman, commission, secretary, I want to thank you guys for having us here today. We do have some concerns in the state of South Dakota as RMEF. We are a little worried that if this does go through, we will see a decline in our sales for our current elk license that we're raffling off. Even though that this doesn't include the state park or Custer State Park, like the current tag that we have. We know that all of a sudden, if we do have another tag that we're raffling off, we're gonna be trying to dip into the same pockets for that second tag as what we currently are. This last year, we were able to raise over $41,000 off the current tag that we issue, and we're afraid that we're gonna see that decline with the second one. All that it was $41,932 that all came back to the state of South Dakota. We sat down with the Game and Fish, we sat down with Forest Service, and also Custer State Park and a lot of other people that sent in proposals during our PAC meeting, and we end up awarding over $95,000 back to the state of South Dakota for big game management. Out of that meeting, we actually had a request for $158,000. So I think if we do, if you guys issue the second tag, we're gonna see that our numbers are gonna go down, and obviously we're not gonna be able to increase the amount of dollars that we put back in the state of South Dakota for big game management. I think it's important that if this is gone through, that a percentage of this, the funds that are raised by another organization should come back to big game management. I think it's kind of odd that we would use an elk tag to help raise funds, and none of those funds would come back towards elk habitat. I think our elk are very important to the state of South Dakota, and we have 426 passionate volunteers here in the state of South Dakota with the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, and they're very concerned that any funds that would be generated from this tag would not come back to the animal or the critter that they put hours and hours of volunteer time in for our elk. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mason. Next speaker is Sam Salachi.
My name is Sam Salachi from Belfouche, South Dakota. Again, I'd like to thank the commission and everybody here. You guys do a wonderful job in keeping our critters in line and on track. So, I have mixed conflict with this issue. I belong to several different wildlife organizations. I still find it odd that ducks are asking for an elk tag. But my main concern is to kind of go along with what Mason was just saying. They do issue one tag for an organization at this time. Those funds all come back to help with habitat, mostly big game type organization stuff. I just want to be careful on that. If another organization does get it, that those funds go towards that. I don't like using a big game tag for raising money for wetlands, pheasants, whatever it may be, mule deer even. I think that an elk tag needs to bring money back for that elk. Same thing if you guys issued a bighorn sheep tag or goose tags or something like that. It needs to be used for whatever purpose or whatever tag you guys are issuing. With that, I also would be concerned on how do you select whatever organization, 501c3 corporation, can apply for that tag. How is the draw process going to work for you guys to decide who gets that? Because I guarantee you it's not going to be just ducks applying. I mean, you're going to have pheasants, you're going to have mule deer, you know, whatever other wildlife organizations are out there. Eventually, that's going to come down the road, and you guys are going to have to make the decision. And how is that going to happen? Like I say, not from my standings, but you guys are going to have to make the choice at that point. So just something to think about. You know, I don't really support it or am against it. I just want to make sure that you guys are aware that down the road it's going to become an issue for that. And I just want to make sure the money comes back to South Dakota, comes back for the animals and habitat, because that's why we're all here. We're all hunters. We all aren't going to do it without the animals. And like I said, you guys have a terrible job because you have to make all the decisions for that, which I commend. So thank you.
Thank you, Sam. Next speaker is Kurt. Come on up, Kurt.
Rantipaw.
This is Kurt Rantipaw.
Yeah. Good afternoon. I am Kurt Rantipaw. I live in the Black Hills. Talking about the elk, we have a tremendous amount of damage, as you guys all know. Listening to these guys with raffling off the elk tags for cash, obviously, for habitat, I've often thought if we could do that for some of the landowners to get a tag and to sell it. There's a lot of states that do that to make money to pay for the damages that we have. The loss of the hay, the fences. We no longer get an elk tag as far as landowner because we don't have 250 acres. And there's very few places in the hills that have 250 acres. So I have a real issue with that when it went to 250 acres. But something to think about. As I said, there's a lot of states that do that. Nevada, I know, is one that the ranchers get tags and they're able to sell them for whatever dollar they can get out of them to help pay for the damages on their ranches. So the state's been pretty good about providing fences and you know, stuff like that, but it's still a lot of, they do a lot of damage. They eat a lot of hay. I love to see them. I love to hunt them. But there again, without getting a landowner tag, that was one of our biggest, we never complained about. We fixed our own fences. We didn't ask for any money for hay loss, or as long as we got that elk tag, that was a trade-off for us. So something to think about, though. I don't know if that's a possibility or not, but it would be one way, as the guy said, if they can get money for ducks, they should be able to get money for landowners, the people that raise the elk up here. So, all right, thank you much.
Thank you, Kurt. Is there anyone else that wants to speak on the elk tag proposal? Anyone else? That's all the speakers, Mr. Chairman. We have a few that would like to speak in an open forum. Would it be your desire to do that now, or should we do that later?
How many are there?
Two.
Two?
There are three, I think.